the purpose, the power, and the presence of the cross, and all of the contentions in the church, and the divisions in the church, and the litigations in the church, and the immorality in the church that you're studying about, could all be remedied if we could get people back to the cross. Here in James, we see the problem spelled out so simply. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished. I wish I could take you all to Jerusalem on a trip. But the best I can do is try to take you this morning on a trip to a special place that should cause the world to ponder, to slow down, and to consider the seriousness of sin. We're going through an experience right now as a world together, globally, and we're really not sure what tomorrow holds. First, we were told that this would all be behind us by Easter. And then we were told that, well, when summer comes, the heat and the sunshine will solve the problem and nothing to worry about. And there are some people who are beginning to think that maybe, just maybe, this is a little bit more serious than we thought. I don't know if it is. I don't know if it isn't. But one thing I do know, sin is far more serious than most people think. And so I want to bring you to a place this morning where we can see sin when it is finished. Oh, sin, when it's coming, it looks pretty good. As a matter of fact, it looks so good, most people want to jump on board and have a great time at their own personal spring break. But if somehow we could just take somebody to this place called Calvary and see sin when it is finished, perhaps it would cause them to have a change of mind and a change of heart. And that's what the preaching of the cross is all about. The seriousness of sin was so serious that God's Son, His only begotten Son, would be the only remedy, the only cure, and the only hope for the world. It's that serious. Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 27. Some people are hoping that all of these things blow over so they can take their grandchildren to Disney World. I would to God that we could take our grandchildren to this place called Calvary, and they could see it for what it really is. Matthew chapter 27. Verse 33. And when they were come to a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, they parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture they did cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there, and set up over his head his accusation written, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews, then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and the other on the left? And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests mocking him and the scribes and elders said, He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him come down. Let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, This man calleth for Elias. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, Let it be, let us see whether Elias will come and save him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. Notice here, the Holy Spirit says, verse 33, And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, Jesus came into this world and told his disciples, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And he, of course, was speaking about the Father's house, and he was speaking about heaven. But in order for him to get us to that place, first he had to go to this place, a place called Golgotha. It was on the way to heaven. And nobody makes it to the Father's house until they come to this place. When we read the Bible the way we're supposed to read it, not only does the Bible tell us what we are and who we are, it shows us where we are. Because you cannot get to that place unless you know where you are right now. The Bible says we have a problem. It's a sin problem. And I would that every single person would see sin when it is finished. Oh, it doesn't look like much at first. Kind of brush it off. Matter of fact, we laugh about it. We think it's not much at all. Kind of brush it off. As a matter of fact, it says in 1 Corinthians, preaching of the cross is foolishness. And most of the world believes what we're doing here is foolish. But most of the world doesn't realize the seriousness of sin. Calvary is the closest a person can come to hell on earth before passing into eternity. And if they could only come and see Calvary as it really is, until they see what it really is, they are without hope in the world, without a Savior. Look with me at sin as an awful place. And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull. The first thing about sin, when it is finished, it always brings the sinner to an ugly place. The place where Christ was crucified was called the place of a skull. Under your kitchen sink, you probably have cleaning products that have a skull and bones on it. And the idea is to frighten children to stay away from it. This is dangerous. This is poison. This will kill you. What an ugly sight, the place of the skull. I have, and you have, lived long enough to be able to tell stories about sinners who failed to heed the warning of heaven and kept on down the road of sin that ultimately led to an ugly place. Physically, Gordon's Calvary looks like a skull. You can see the eye sockets there in the stone, and you can imagine and picture the skull of a man. And that place called Golgotha was a place where many a person had been crucified at a crossroads for people to see. Years ago, when we went to New York City to begin a ministry, we went into the projects and began knocking on doors and telling people we were going to have a meeting. On the first Sunday that we met together as a group, 56 people showed up, and 7 people responded to an invitation. And after the meeting, a young girl came up to me, a black girl. In the projects, 99% of the people were African American. And a black girl came up to me and said, "Preacher," I'd never seen her before. She'd never seen me before. She heard the gospel. She heard the invitation. She did not come to get saved, but she came after and she wanted to speak to me. She said, "Preacher, I want to join the choir." We didn't have a choir. We didn't have anything. And I said, "Well, we don't have a choir, but we're going to have a Bible study on Tuesday night. Why don't you come to that?" She came on Tuesday night. We met on the projects in some lady's home, like Lydia. It opened up her living room, a black lady. And we opened up the Bible, God's Word, which offers the only hope for the pandemic of sin. The next Tuesday, the girl came again, Veronica. And there were no other young people. She came and she sat with a bunch of the older people, and mothers, and a few babies. And we continued going through God's Word. On the third Tuesday, walking through the projects, I saw Veronica over by the basketball courts, and I said, "Hey, Veronica, we're going to have Bible study." And she said, "Not tonight, preacher. I'm with my friends." And my heart kind of sunk that she wasn't getting the message. And that same week, went to her home with my wife, Yvette, and trying to find Veronica, and she was not there. And I spoke to her mother, and sat at a kitchen table. And as we were sitting there, there was a bang at the door, and the mother went up and answered the door, and it became loud and vocal, and there was an argument right there, screaming and yelling. We were surprised what was going on. Well, Veronica was 12 years old. She looked 18. It's not good for a 12-year-old to look 18 in the inner city projects. You understand what I'm saying? And there was a man there that had swept Veronica up in a bunch of wild, crazy ideas and dreams, and was using her. And her mother said, "Leave my baby alone. Stay away from her." But he had dazzled her and charmed her with money and with cosmetics and with jewelry and with driving around in fancy cars. And she was caught up in the lie of sin, thinking that it was exciting and thinking that it was wonderful and thinking that she was important. And it broke her mother's heart. And her mother told me so as we sat there. A month later, Veronica was either pushed or fell out of an 11-story window and fell in the streets of Manhattan. Her body lay there with no clothes on. And the story was told in the New York Times of how the social services had failed her. I still have the article. And I thought, oh, how I failed her. She crossed my path just for a brief moment. And if I could go back, and when she said, "Preacher, I want to sing in the choir," I should have said, "Certainly." And then figured out how to have a choir and have her join the choir and sing. To this day, I go back and remember that and think of Veronica. Black Lives Matter, yeah. She mattered. But somehow she never heard the message that I should have given her. Sin, when it is finished, always leads to an ugly place. I wish everyone would hear that and believe it. A place of the skull, an ugly place. Even Naomi came back from Moab, said, "The Lord sent me out full." But it came home empty. "No longer call me Naomi, but call me bitter." Because second, sin always leads to a bitter place. Go to the penitentiary. Go to the county jail. Go to the prison. And you ask those people that are sitting behind bars about their life, and they will admit to you in confidence that sin has led them to a bitter place. The promise is always great. Oh, the fruit looks good to eat and it'll make you wise. But the devil's a liar. And it always leads to bitterness. Sweet to the mouth, as it says in Revelation, but bitter in the belly. Peter wept in bitterness as he thought of how he himself denied the Lord. Sin, in all of its forms, will lead to bitterness. I'm glad that it was not the end for Peter. I'm glad that he still had another opportunity. Some don't. Some have a second chance. And you come to this place called Calvary. What is it? What's happening there? He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might receive the righteousness and be the righteousness of God in him. He took upon himself my sin, your sin, our sin. And he went to an ugly place and a bitter place called Calvary. Number three, and they crucified him. Sin always leads to a painful place. The spikes went through his hands and went through his feet. And he was impaled on a cross and lifted up for all the world to see. The devil's a liar. I want you to see sin when it is finished. It leads to an ugly place. It leads to a bitter place. It leads to a painful place. Sin looks good when it's coming. It doesn't look so good when it's walking away. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13 to 14 tells us that the devil comes as an angel of light. when he stood in the Garden of Eden and spoke to Eve, she had no idea that this charming visitor would plunge her into the darkness and the sorrow of sin. We look at the cross and we don't think about what it really means. What it means is that Jesus Christ had to die for our sins in order for us to be saved. It's the only cure and it's the only answer. The word pandemic means the cause of suffering. The greatest cause of suffering in the world is not COVID-19. The greatest cause of suffering in the world is sin. How many mothers and how many fathers have had broken hearts because the devil has lied to their children and led them down a way that leads to destruction? And there on the side of the road is chapels and churches and cemeteries that have the cross, and people have no idea what the cross means. It means it's the only answer and hope for the world. It's the only cure for sin. Sin always leads to an ugly place. It always leads to a bitter place. It always leads to a painful place. And sin is a wall the spirit feels. It's a wound that never heals. It's a war you cannot win. It's a way that's wrong within. Verse 35. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots. The fourth thing about sin is it always leads to shame. They took his garments from him and lifted him up on a cross for all the world to see. Well, the truth of the matter is it doesn't look so bad now, but wait, when sin is finished, it'll bring shame. The person who broke the law, he didn't care. But then when he was arrested and he was hauled before the TV cameras, you've seen it, and then they cover their face. Because sin always leads to shame. And sin tries to hide. And God Almighty walked through the Garden of Eden calling out, "Adam, where are you?" And he was hiding naked in the bushes because he realized that he had done wrong and he had sinned. Sin always causes us to hide, more than that, to hide from God, because it always leads to shame. And the Bible says very clearly, be sure your sins will find you out. That's why you need Calvary. That's why you need what took place there. That's why you need a Savior to save you from sin. Sin always leads to an ugly place. It leads to a bitter place. It leads to a painful place. It leads to a shameful place. Verse 39. And they passed by and reviled him, wagging their heads, saying, "Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise, the chief priests mocking him. Sin always leads to mocking. Oh, when the prodigal son's friends encouraged him to go out with them and to waste their substance in riotous living, they were having a great time. But when all of your money runs out, your friends run out as well, and all of a sudden, the party is over. And the Bible says he began to be in want. And even sinners mock sinners when they're led away in chains and incarcerated. It leads to mocking and it leads to derision. And so there on the cross, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the perfect Son of God, was mocked. Matter of fact, in Psalm 22, it says they stuck out their lip. Wow. To the Son of God. Why? Because it's a picture of sin when it is finished. Not a pretty picture at all. And unless there is a solution, unless there is a remedy, unless there is a vaccine, unless there's a cure, that's where everybody is headed. But God loved the world so much, He sent His Son, His only begotten Son, to die for us in that place, for us, so that we would not have to go to that other place, to be eternally separated from God forever. Come to a place called Calvary and see sin when it is finished. In verse 45, now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. Sin always leads to darkness. God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. Years ago, we would go out into the streets and talk to people who needed to hear the gospel and the good news. And one young man who was addicted to heroin listened to the gospel, but had not responded and received the cure and the answer and the way. And I gave him my phone number and told him if he ever wanted to talk to give me a call. And 2:30 one morning, the telephone rang. And it was this person. He said, "Do you remember me?" "Yes, I remember you. I need your help. I'm in a mess. I'm in trouble. Can you come and help me?" And I said, "Where are you?" And he said, "I don't know. I'm in a phone booth." I said, "Look around. What do you see anything that I might recognize?" And he looked around. He described something that I recognized. And I said, "I'll be right over." Got there about 3:30 in the morning. And he was in trouble. He had stolen something from somebody to get drugs, and that somebody found out that he had stolen it and had power to have him killed, and they were out looking for him to murder him. And so I was with him, and I said, "Let's go and see if we can solve this." And we went to a dark tenement in Paterson, New Jersey, and walked up a dark, dark staircase, 3 o'clock in the morning, 3:30 in the morning, and could barely see your hand in front of your eyes. And up on one of the landings, there was a doorway and a little strip of light, small light, underneath the door. And he said, that's where the drug dealer lives, and that's where I stole this thing. And he knocked on the door, and I stood there thinking about how sin always leads to darkness. Nobody thought that they would end up fighting for their life in a dark hallway somewhere. But sin always leads to a dark place. And he spoke to the person, and the cost of what he had stolen was doubled, and he had to come up with that money in a short amount of time, and somehow we managed to do that. And I wish I could tell young people who are listening to Satan's lies that eventually sin, when it is finished, it'll lead to darkness. And Jesus Himself said, be cast into outer darkness, to be gnashing of teeth forever. What is Calvary? It's not just something you put on top of a church. It's not a chain you wear around your neck. The cross of Calvary is a place where Jesus Christ became sin for us and went to that awful place so that we would never have to go to that other awful place called hell. Sin, when it is finished, leads to darkness. In verse 46, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Sin leads to loneliness. Jesus Christ on Calvary was the loneliest person the world has ever known. even the Father, turned away from him when he became the bearer of our sin, because he is holy. And there are young people who think that hell is going to be like spring break and they're going to be with all their friends. But the truth of the matter is, they're going to be alone forever. Alone. Nobody to be with them. They're going to be with themselves. And that in itself is an awful, awful sentence. And so sin, when it is finished, always brings loneliness. And then lastly, in conclusion, verse 50, and when he had cried again with a loud voice, he yielded up the ghost. Sin always brings death. They say that the mortality rate of COVID-19 is maybe 3%. The mortality rate for sin is 100%. We should be much, much more worried and concerned about sin. There's no mask. There's no vaccine. There's no social distancing. There's no medicine. There's no cure except putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the one who went to this place, this awful place, and died to pay for your sins in full. The world needs to know that God has a cure, and all they have to do is receive it and to be forgiven and to be with him forever. The preaching of the cross is to the world foolishness, but unto us who are saved is the power of God unto salvation. Father, thank you for loving us so much that you allowed your Son, your only begotten Son, to go to such a place called Calvary. And there he took our place so that we might be in that better place in the Father's house forever. Help us, Lord, as an assembly, help us as believers to be witnesses and warnings to others while there's still time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.